Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson. Trade it, sell it, they want it. Go online at WorthHarley-Davidson.com, click on the Sell to Us tab, and get a serious cash offer for your bike. Worth Harley-Davidson, I-29 just south of the airport, or online at WorthHarley-Davidson.com. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
All right, listen. I don't know. I mean, that book would have two covers to it because they probably feel, you know, they would feel the same thing if that's the question. So I don't know about that. They'll know us, though, and we'll know them, and you know, we'll just go out and play football. I think is what you'll see. Sure.
How did Clyde Edwards-Helaire look to you out there, and what's your optimism level for him?
Yeah, Herbie. I mean, he moved around well. We'll see tomorrow and how he back to backs these things. So. I mean, I don't want to say anything. I said it last week, and I was wrong. So we'll just see how he does as we go forward.
And now, wondering where the cheetah is, maybe he's at cheerleading practice. Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro, the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us on a frosty, cold, windy, blustery Winter Wednesday. Chiefs Zoom continues as they apparently are scouring the building for where Tyreek Hill is. Amazing how that works. But Tyreek Hill, maybe we'll get him to you, maybe not. If he does ever make it to the podium, then we will certainly at least give you something sometime during the next 4 hours. Well, again,
comical.
Assuming he makes it to the podium during the next 4 hours, we will bring you some of it. We'll bring it to you live if we can make it work. But that's a TBD, you know, what we call to be determined.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does absolutely to me, yes. Okay. What doesn't make sense is the idea that no one in that building knows where Tyreek Hill is. How can you
not
know where Tyreek Hill is half an hour, I mean, or 10 minutes after practice?
It's not the Ministry of Information. You know, like, you know, it just is what it is.
If they really had to get a hold of him, they would be able to get a hold of him.
Yeah, I think so, too.
See, he doesn't have a cell phone.
Just a matter of.
They can't reach him. He can't. Yeah. He doesn't text.
Yeah.
He's still T9s.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I think that's clearly the case.
3333.
We're going to talk some football coming up. I mentioned we're going to talk about the quarterbacks and head coaches. I'm going to leave that back just because we are going to try to get Tyreek Hill in here. And again, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to do it. We're going to talk about scoring in the postseason here in a second. We'll get to who's got the most at stake amongst the quarterbacks and head coaches. Then we get to the 3 o'clock hour. Todd Lebo joins us. We'll play the feud. Your chance to win a gift card to Hen House. Doesn't get any better than that. You will just need a contestant there at the 3 o'clock hour. Who is woman enough? Who is man enough to play the feud? We find out at 3. 4 o'clock, Frank Bull, the godfather of Kansas City sports, will be here. I'm sure we'll talk a lot of Chiefs football, NFL football at that time. Maybe some basketball. You know, Kansas did win. Would we call that impressive?
I think it is because they got 0 points from their leading scorer for at least the first half of the game and found a way to win on the road. That's nothing to be laughed at.
Or point, or K-State gets criticized. K-State gets a big win against Texas. I think that's certainly exciting. K-State looks like they're putting something together. Missouri pummels Ole Miss. I got nothing for you on Missouri.
Lose but by 44.
Somebody want to take a shot at this?
No. Lose by 44, win by 25 in a six-day span. I bet there are 10 occurrences of that from Power 5 teams in the last 20 years.
I mean, Ole Miss is not like any juggernaut or anything, right? They almost as bad as Missouri record-wise. As I was watching it on the screen, I'm like, so what are they out there? They haven't done anything in league either. But, I mean, good for Konzo Martin. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe we're going to see one of the great Cinderella stories of all time, and they're going to rattle off, you know, 11 out of 13 or something. I hope so. I like Konzo Martin, the guy. I'm rooting for him. But for the life of me, I can't figure this team out because it's not just inconsistent. It's, like, demonically bipolar. I mean, yes. From Angel to the worst, you know, Freddy Krueger. I mean, like, I cannot figure out anything about Missouri basketball. Nothing. Tell me what you know about Missouri basketball.
They play in Columbia.
Yeah, and here ended the story. I mean, you know, dash 30 dash. That's a journalism journalism thing for people that don't know. Anyway, yeah, I really have nothing there. I do want to start with a little football, though, because we might be popping into Tyreek Hill. So we'll keep the theme going, and we'll save the basketball for a little bit later on. But Andy Reid, as a coach and, you know, as an offensive coach and scoring points, Curtis loves his color-coded spreadsheets. We love Curtis's color-coded spreadsheets. Went to town on finding out how Andy Reid does as far as a head coach and scoring offense, and it turns out he does really well. What was the parameter? How often had you had to be there to make your study?
Well, there was one group of people that absolutely got in. That was anyone who'd coached 20 postseason games. And then I went down the list to see guys who had at least double digits, I would like 15 or more, that were thought of as offensive minds. George Seifert, Sean Payton, Marv Levy, Bill Walsh, Mike Shanahan, Paul Brown, you know, Jimmy Johnson, guys like that. I added a number of those guys just to make sure I kind of had the list of the other Hall of Fame type head coaches and added those in there and came up with a list of 19 guys.
All right. And in that time, we found that Andy Reid is, what, the fifth most proficient scoring head coach? Like, and we know he's an offensive guy, so that doesn't shock you. What shocked me was the fact that, you know, George Seifert was number one, a defensive coach, granted, with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks on his watch with Joe Montana and Steve Young. Sean Payton, offensive guy, that doesn't shock you, and he had a Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees. Marv Levy, Hall of Fame quarterback in Jim Kelly, and Bill Belichick, Hall of Fame quarterback in Tom Brady. That seems to be the biggest key. Andy Reid has had a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. He's had some good quarterbacks in Donovan McNabb and Alex Smith, but he had the Hall of Famer was Patrick Mahomes, and he's the fifth highest scoring coach amongst this group of other names, guys that are below him in points per game. Mike Holmgren, Chuck Knoll, Bill Walsh, Mike Shanahan. I'm going down Curtis's list. Paul Brown, Pete Carroll, Bill Cowher, Joe Gibbs, Jimmy Johnson, Tom Landry, Don Shula, Bill Parcells, Dan Reeves, and Bud Grant. They're all down. Now, some of those names, you're like, oh, they're older guys, right? Like, it was a less offensive era. Andy Reid with the Chiefs, he's averaged 24.8 points per game as a head coach in the postseason. With the Kansas City Chiefs, that number goes to over 30.07. And when you factor in Patrick Mahomes, which frankly is what, 9 of his, how many, 14 playoff games with the Chiefs, right? 32.22. It gets to a pretty big number, 32.22 points per game. He's well over 30 with Patrick Mahomes. Right now, some of that's like, well, what do you think you're splitting an atom there? No, we knew it was going to be good. But to quantify how much better it's been than everybody else, I think is amazing. And you even did the breakdown that he's averaging more than, what, 2 points per game than the average, right? So he's definitively above the average. And, you know, I think it just it
and
validates
then when you break it down to the Chiefs, it's even more striking.
Question, yes. In what way?
In that he's averaging 6.5 points per game more than the average during the 8 years and 9 years he's been with the Chiefs, and averaging 8.6 points above average in the 4 years he's had Patrick Mahomes. More than a touchdown game more.
Yeah. So given, I think there's a couple of things that this jumps out at. Number one, this even more so validates Andy Reid's career with the Eagles. This, to me, puts pressure on Bill Belichick, right? He scored 17 points, almost all of them, oh, by the way, points, in his first playoff game without Tom Brady, right? So far, in postseason, woeful offensive performance. One game, I get it, not a big sample size. But that's my point, and it's always been my point when it comes to Andy Reid as a coach, is that I believe his Eagles days, right, now that he's cashed for the Super Bowl and hopefully is going to get more, hopefully this year is going to get more, his Eagle days are going to now be held up as a trophy. Look how good this guy was in Philadelphia, right? Look at what he did when he didn't have Patrick Mahomes, because now he's got his Hall of Fame quarterback, and he's blowing the competition away. He's blowing the competition away. The same way we showed you how Patrick Mahomes is way out in front of Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, and Tom Brady in every category except for he's one win behind Ben Roethlisberger, and he's got an opportunity to pick up three more. And Tom Brady was 9-0 with three championships. He can't have three championships. He can only have two championships when this year's over. But yardage, touchdowns, and for everybody other than Brady and Roethlisberger, even for Rodgers, he's grossly ahead of him in wins at this point in his career. And I think that speaks to, one, it is Mahomes. But, two, this shows you it is Andy Reid as well, because he was scoring above guys that were with Hall of Fame quarterbacks, even when he didn't, and now he's blowing away the competition. And that brings us to the game against the Buffalo Bills. And the question I think you have to ask yourself is, all right, a lot of people, you know, the Bills are certainly the better ranked defense. I do think there's a referendum on defensive football. What does it matter to be number one in the NFL if you run into the Chiefs and you get beat, and if you get beat badly or by double digits, right? Like, defensive ranks will very soon be meaningless, won't they? I mean, maybe not meaningless, but their importance will fall off a cliff. I mean, the Chiefs are a top 10 defense scoring wise, but they're a bottom third when it comes to yardage. And if the Chiefs offense goes up and down the field against the best defense in the NFL, I will point out one that Eric Eager from PFF.com pointed out last night on our Red Golden Bowl podcast, the Bills have played the 30th toughest schedule. In other words, third easiest schedule in the NFL. Mm. So almost all of the stats, when you grind through, well, here's their points allowed, here's their points scored, here's their yards per game, you have to factor in the fact that they had the third easiest schedule in the NFL. Third easiest. And I think we can speak to the fact that New England clearly benefited from that. They, too, had an easier schedule. I think theirs was like 24th or 25th. It was only tougher because they had to play the Bills instead of playing themselves, was really the only difference in that schedule. And when they got on the field with the Bills, they certainly didn't look like they were anything more than what I call commercial inventory filler. They didn't look like they were anything more than what the Philadelphia Eagles were for the Bucs, right? They got destroyed. Yeah. Like, they were a team that could handle mediocrity, could handle poor, very bad, poor, and mediocre teams and not trip up, hold their own, stay in the fight against the better teams, maybe even steal a win or two, but in reality were, in my opinion, and it's unfair to say this because it's only a one-game single elimination deal, but I think we were right in our assessment, my assessment at least. I don't know if you guys agreed. I don't know if we got into it. I know I talked about it with Chidea, but that the Patriots were not a threat to win a championship, and they weren't going to get it done. We know they couldn't come back. You know, Bill Belichick in any one game can get you, but he wasn't going to win four games with this quarterback at this level of his development. And I think what we see now is we're going to find out, all right, are the Bills really just a bloated statistical champion, or are they really the best team in the NFL? Because the combination of offense and defense, statistically speaking, says that the Bills are the best team in the NFL. And they've got a lot on the line. That organization has a lot on the line. They've been in the playoffs 3 years in a row, and that's a great accomplishment. But with being in the playoffs year after year after year, as we know, as we heard Andy Reid criticized, comes the, well, you can't win the big one. No matter what you do, until you've won it all you're doing is setting yourself up to be questioned for, why can't you take the next step? Mike McCarthy gets the Cowboys back in the playoffs. He wins a division title. He's a boob. Why didn't you beat San Francisco? Colossal boob. Wherever you are, the goal is to take the next step, and failure to take the next step comes with a steep penalty, and that is your past successes are immediately thrown out the window, and you're measured simply on your most recent failure. It's unfair. Let the $6 million a year paycheck, you know, use some of the cash to dry your tears. I'm not asking anyone to pity Mike McCarthy or pity the Bills if they don't get it done. But the Bills do have a lot at stake here. You know, they're going to become that team best. You know, right now they already are, aren't they? The best franchise to never win a Super Bowl.
I would say so. Yeah,
they went to four.
Yeah,
I mean, I know it's all in one window, or now a second window, as this team's now been to three playoffs and hasn't made the Super Bowl. But they went to four Super Bowls. The Bengals have been to two and haven't won. Chargers have been to one. Who else has been there but hasn't won? The Titans have been there once. The Panthers have been there once. No, the Panthers have been there twice and not won.
Yeah, the only one that's the kind of the mirror of the Bills is the Vikings.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot at stake for the Buffalo Bills. I get it. But just because there's a lot at stake doesn't mean you want it more and doesn't mean you'll play better. You still got to go out and out-scheme, out-coach, and out-play the Kansas City Chiefs. And at the end of the day, this matchup, it may very well be a referendum on defense and a referendum on the quarterback position, that if you have the best quarterback, you're the favorite. I'll quote the great Kevin Harlan, who said it a long time ago. Basically, you can line up the two quarterbacks, take a look at their passer ratings, and whoever's got the higher passer rating is probably going to win that game. And it comes down to it. And this is the question, Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen? And maybe it's just as simple as that. We will take a break. We'll talk about the rankings of the head coaches and the quarterbacks, which ones have the most at stake. We will break that down. We've each compiled our list of 1 through 8 and why. We do that next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
I wanted to hear mindless droning. I'd befriend an air conditioner.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for joining us. You're on a frosty Wednesday. 913-310-810 if you want to join the program. 913-310-810. You can hit me up on the Twitter. It's at Soren Petro, S-O-R-E-N-P-E-T-R-O. You can hit me up there as well. I know Leland wants to chime in before we get into our listing of who's got the most at stake in these playoffs here moving forward, the 8 quarterbacks, the 8 head coaches. Leland, you're in the program. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Soren. I got a quick thing for you here. 7 times a team has led the NFL with wins of 12 or more points in a season. The 99 Rams, 22 Bucks, 95 Bears, 2000 Ravens, 96 Broncos, 91 Redskins. Each year those teams have led the league in with most wins by 12 or more points, they won the Super Bowl. This year the Bills led the league with most wins by 12 or more points. Just wanted to get your what your thoughts are on that.
Do you have the numbers on how many times the team that's led with the most wins like that hasn't won the Super Bowl? Is that to assume that it's every other year?
No, I don't.
Well, my assumption is, like, did you look that up or did you hear that somewhere?
No, I looked it up.
So I'm curious, like, did you look up every single season or did you just cherry pick the team? And I don't mean cherry pick as a negative. I just mean, did you say, here are some really good teams. Let me see if they did that. And they all did. Because I'm curious, because if every other champion did not, then I would say it bodes well for the Chiefs.
Right.
You know what I mean? The math is in their favor.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. I was just curious to see what your thoughts were on that thing.
No, I think it's a good one. It gives me, you know, it scares me more that you haven't looked up every single champion. Right, it might be something that's interesting to do, because it might mean that, like, listen, the NFL is the NFL, and yeah, maybe you have the 30th toughest schedule, the 3rd easiest schedule, as the Bills do, but, you know, when you lay the beat down, that validates how strong you are. It really wouldn't have mattered who you played, and so I think it's concerning. I you know, listen, Eric Eager back in 2019, I remember being down in Miami at Radio Row. And he wrote a story then about the brilliance of Andy Reid, and part of the brilliance of Andy Reid is that he doesn't get into close games, right? He puts teams away to where it doesn't come down to the very end, and that's actually the mark. You know, he and Belichick stood out in that category. That's the mark of a great coach, right? A coach that's always winning close games isn't good enough to blow somebody out. And so I think, listen, I think I've said all along, you know, I'm going to pick the Chiefs in every game. I told Jazzy J that, you know, before the playoffs even started, that my feeling is with Patrick Mahomes, you pretty much take Mahomes in every game. And are you going to win them all? No, you'd be 7-2 right now in playoff games. If you're a better, you're real proud of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The time when he loses, there's some chuckleberry to be, oh, you didn't win that time. You're right. I mean, I'm 7-2. As a gambler, I'm up $480 at $100 a clip. That's give me that all day. But I think the Bills and Chiefs are the two best teams. And I think that the Bills are a motivated team, and I think they're a hungry team. And the fact that Sean McDermott comes from the Andy Reid tree means that he knows everything that Andy Reid puts on paper, puts on a schedule, says in a meeting. He just doesn't know what goes on in his head beyond that, but he's got the Andy Reid blueprint, and he's playing it right back at him. What goes on in his head, Andy Reid doesn't know that either. Has McDermott taken what Andy Reid's given him and gone even further? Maybe. We're going to find out, though, aren't we? Like, I actually think that the Bills, we talk about what's at stake. For Sean McDermott, I don't have him at the top of the list. I've got him at number 6, but he's kind of in a mix where I could put him a lot higher. In the sense that if he doesn't win this time, there's going to be criticism about, well, McDermott can't beat the Chiefs. They can't get over the hump. He knows how to get to the playoffs. He's going to start hearing the same thing that Andy Reid heard in Philadelphia, right? And do we know that Josh Allen is truly an elite Hall of Fame quarterback, or is Josh Allen perhaps Donovan McNabb? He runs a lot. That's part of his threat. I mean, I think one of the real measurements of a quarterback is, what is he when he can't run anymore? And we're going to have this referendum on Patrick Mahomes as well. What is Patrick Mahomes? He doesn't run like Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray did, at least last year. Certainly didn't in that game on freaking Monday night, I can tell you that. But, you know, he is a guy that his legs are a tremendous threat. It means you've got to spy for him. You know, we had this conversation last night, Eric and Jeff and I, about, like, how do you defend him? Like, who's the spy? Do you leave a spy? Is it Dan Sorensen? Jeff said, listen, you're going to see more of Dan Sorensen than – he said, I think you're going to see more of Dan Sorensen than the fans want to see. Because if they got to be in coverage but you still want to tackle, who do you want, Anthony Hitchens as a spy or Dan Sorensen? And I said, well, why not Willie Gay?
Yes.
You know, I mean, I do think that's one of the challenges. Any quarterback that can run, you got to figure it out. And this guy doesn't just run. He's not just fast. He runs and runs over people. So it can't just be a spy that tries to get there or contain him. You got to get multiple hats to the ball to bring him down. But when that goes away, what will he be as a passer? Now, it hasn't gone away, and the Chiefs have to beat this version of Josh Allen. But when it's all said and done, I think McDermott isn't at the tops on the list by any stretch. But, you know, I do think there's a lot there, and he's got something at stake. We want to go bottom to top or top to bottom?
I hadn't considered that. I was
just
say quarterback.
What do you think
first,
is better?
I think top to bottom.
Yeah, top to bottom works.
Okay, top to bottom, head coach. Let's go with head coach.
Okay.
What coach has the most on your list, Curtis? Most at stake?
I have, and it's interesting, there are little pockets. There are like two guys who can join the two-win club. There are two guys
who... called tiers.
Yeah, tiers.
That's what we like to do. Yeah.
There's one tier, McVay and Shanahan, who've been there and lost and can get back there and win. And so there's little pockets of these quarterbacks, these coaches. Number one, I have Andy Reid. Can join the two-time winners club and kind of
erase
the
If I'd have known you were going to do that, I'd gone to Jed, because that was Jed who... Didn't Jed plant that seed when we met this morning?
Because I initially didn't have him one, and I thought... I'm going to put him two.
After I mentioned it.
You did, but that wasn't why I put him number one. You know, I've been doing this
you
for...
You didn't do a good... You're a terrible lawyer, because I just said, wasn't it because of what Jed said? You go, was, well, yeah, I initially didn't have him two.
He said
but
it,
after the conversation, I moved
no,
him
no,
to
no,
one.
No, no, no. He said it. I initially had him two after we had discussed it. I wouldn't have had him two in a list we hadn't discussed before, because I didn't know we were going to do it. I had initially had him two, and then I thought, I'll put him one. I've been doing this for a day or two. I can form my own list.
I don't know, Jed. Isn't he kind of making my point for me?
No, I don't think I am.
I think he might be.
I have him. He can. I think he and Arians are 1-2.
All right. Well, I think Jed should. Here's my point. I don't think you should get to say why, because at least in the meeting, you said nothing about Andy Reid, and Jed said, I've got Andy Reid at the top, and then he gave his reason why, and you went, huh? Like, I don't think it's fair for you to, like, give the reason on the air when Jed was the only one to give the reason off the air.
To be honest, I don't really care. Curtis can make his own case, but I guess for
no,
me...
I'm tired. I'm tired of Curtis taking your spotlight.
I want
you to have your moment to shine, Jed.
We both
because I actually
so
thought for the first time in however many years we've worked together, I'm like, wow, Jed, it finally has his first good point.
Thank you.
So shine on, my friend. Why do you have Andy Reid at the top of the coach who has the most at stake when he's the fifth most winningest coach of all time and already has a Super Bowl championship?
Well, I think a lot of it is because Andy Reid has been to three Super Bowls already. He's only won the one. I think that this would put him, if he wins his second, would put him into the argument for the Mount Rushmore, for lack of a better term, of what we discussed for NFL coaches. You mentioned the accolades. You mentioned the winning in the regular season. But being able to put together all of the AFC and NFC championship games, the four Super Bowls, the two Super Bowl wins, which it would be if he were able to win. I think that he's arguably, it goes Belichick, what, Gibbs, him, Parcells?
I mean, Lombardi, and you're talking about the Super Bowl era?
Just the
Super Bowl era?
But it's been the argument of being the one of the top four greatest coaches of all time.
Like, people would say, oh, Curly Lambeau and George Halas, and I would be like, my response is, like, George Halas owned the team and half owned the league, for God's sake. I don't even know what the hell to make of George Halas as the head coach. And Curly Lambeau was, I mean, to his credit, was the only guy who threw the ball, right? Like, there was a bit of, like, being the tallest pygmy back in those days. So I have a hard time quantifying where they go. I probably slight them more than I should. But, yeah, to your point, I think Andy Reid is approaching. And that's what I thought was great about your point. And, Curtis, you were probably, you know, I'm busting Curtis's balls. But, I mean, you had the same kind of thought process on it. And that is that, like, you know, having something at stake isn't just how much negativity is going to be around you with a loss. It's what can you gain with a win. And I do think it is giant that, you know, because I've got Bruce Arians at five. I've got Andy Reid at two, right? But I've got Bruce Arians at five because I do think, hey, winning a Super Bowl is big. And I think if you're Andy Reid going into 19 and you haven't won a championship, like, and you've got the quarterback in place and you're there, like, I think there was a ton of pressure on Andy Reid. And I do think that there's a chance that now he does win four out of six because the pressure's gone. And he has his quarterback. But going from just being the guy who's won one separates you from Brian Billick, a guy who got fired and never got hired again, right? And being a guy who's got multiple championships, which narrows the field a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, that's a big deal. So, yeah, I've got Andy Reid at two, and I think it's because there is a lot to gain there in that. By the way, our buddy Blair Kirkhoff just got after me, said, Chuck Knoll. And he said it just like that. Chuck Knoll. Can we talk about a guy with four championships? Chuck Knoll, like, where does he fit in this Mount Rushmore? So there you go. Actually, Jed, I think he's yelling at you.
Yeah.
He's not yelling at me. He's yelling at you for not mentioning Chuck Knoll. I'm not nearly as old as Blair,
so that's clearly why.
Yeah, no, but and Chuck Knoll is kind of like the forgotten guy. Guy's won four championships, and nobody ever puts him up there. And Blair's right to put him up there. It was kind of a different time with no free agency. And, you know, once you made good draft picks, and they had incredible draft picks, they were yours to the end.
Only one guy's won four out of six.
Yeah, him. And that's it. No one else, not even Bill Belichick. But only one guy's won six, and that's Belichick, you know, over 19 years. And in some ways, that's more impressive. All right, so you've got Reid one. Jed, you've got Reid one, right? I've got Reid two. I've got Mike LaFleur one. Because if this is his last year with Aaron Rodgers, if he doesn't cash now, like, we saw it, and Jed, you mentioned this as well when we were talking earlier. Jordan Love, he didn't do squat with Jordan Love against the Chiefs. I mean, it does not look like LaFleur is the guy. And Mike McCarthy won only once with Aaron Rodgers, which is somewhat, I mean, he got right back to the playoffs again with a highly paid quarterback. But, you know, it's kind of like LaFleur needs to cash now with Rodgers. And even if this isn't Rodgers' last year, he's such a flake. If he comes back, I think he's going to get sideways again soon or just quit and go do something else. Like, I got LaFleur number one. Where do you guys have LaFleur?
Wow. That's interesting. I had not considered the if Rodgers goes. I just thought, well, there's much of my weighing was a what's expected from someone. What do they have to win? If they, you know, what level do they get to? And what level do they sink to if they lose? And I just kind of had him in the wash. not having much of a track record. He's not going to be jumping into any type of upper echelon. I guess if he wins, he's one of those one-time guys. There's a lot of those guys. And if he loses, I think a lot of it's going to be heaped on Aaron Rodgers if they don't win. And because he has more of a, Aaron Rodgers has more of a track record of being a postseason, I would say flop, but a disappointment than Matt LaFleur does. So I don't think there was that much to lose. I have him at six, actually.
Interesting, because and that's why you do polls, yeah. Right? Because people come at it from different ways. Polls are opinions, and you come at it from different ways. I guess I look at it that I think you're right. The story will be Rodgers bombs, right? LaFleur will bask in the shadow, the shade of Aaron Rodgers being the talking point that he can't get it done, or can't get it done again because he did get it done once. But you know, I just look at it that like, okay, then Rodgers leaves. And if Jordan Love's the guy, it doesn't look like it's going to be very good. Like I don't know that he ever gets a shot with a team that's good enough to win a championship if he doesn't get it done now.
Yeah.
Right? Because if Rodgers leaves and they play at the level that they looked like without Rodgers against the Chiefs, then it's not going to go well in Green Bay. And then are you going to give him another shot?
Yeah. And I guess I thought if that happens, even if he wins this year, and Rodgers says, "Well, I won my second title. I'm outie." And Jordan Love comes in and he's that way. He's still going to be kind of he's thought of as the guy who won because of Aaron Rodgers and couldn't win by anybody else. There isn't that much of a the difference going forward isn't really markedly different. It's just did you win a Super Bowl in the 1 year you had an opportunity to?
Yeah, well, then that's the other thing is I think he's had 3 years opportunity to do it, and he hasn't got it done.
In particular, we know last guys have year won it at home.
Yeah, we know guys have done it in their first year as well.
Yep.
So who do you have too?
I have Bruce Arians too. He and Reed are very similar in that they can both join the two-time winners club. Okay. But I think right now a lot of people look at Bruce Arians as a guy who was a caretaker over a team led by the GOAT who got hot for a month. If he wins another one, he's in a rare spot of a rare group of guys who have won back-to-back, and I think he kills any idea that this was just a good team that got hot. Now he's, you know, he'll still be linked to Brady, absolutely, but a second win and back-to-back, people, whatever shot you want to take at what he did, what they did a year ago, is off target now because he would have done it again.
Yeah, I guess I look at it that it's like all Brady's, and so therefore he has nothing to lose with a loss, because credit is given to Brady already, and so if he loses, if you give the credit to Brady, you can't give the blame to Arians.
Yeah, that's true.
So I had him at five, so that's interesting. Who do you have two, Jed? Before we break,
I have Matt LaFleur at number two, and just for a peek under the covers, I have Bruce Arians at number seven for a lot of the reasons that you both alluded to. With LaFleur, I mean it's all reliant upon Aaron Rodgers. With Bruce Arians, he's already been to a Super Bowl. It's kind of counterintuitive to the point that I was making about Andy Reid, but I think so much of it is reliant upon what Tom Brady does and what he brings to the table. That's why I put him so much lower down the list.
Okay. All right, 913-3810-810. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue with our what's at stake for the head coaches. We've got, roughly half of it still to go as we give where we have each other's right now. But LaFleur, both Jed and I, big on LaFleur, having a lot to prove. Andy Reid, all of us, not to prove, have the most at stake. I want to be clear about how we're phrasing it. Not to prove, the most at stake. And Andy Reid having a lot at stake as well. We'll continue with the list when we come back. 913-3810-810. You're in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
He prefers the company of men.
Who doesn't?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Listen to the program brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson. I-29, just south of Tiffany Springs, which is just south of the airport. On I-29, the 2022s are rolling in. Get yours right now. Go to WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Better yet, see them in person. The guys and gals, when you walk in, you'll find out. It starts with Rick Worth, the great owner, Chris Guerin, the GM. You are family. The moment you walk in that door, go up and see the best Harley-Davidson dealership, biggest Harley-Davidson dealership with the best selection in the Midwest. It's Worth Harley-Davidson, I-29 at Tiffany Springs, just south of that intersection, and, of course, online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. 913-3810-810. Dan wanted to chime in on his coach that's got the most at stake. Dan, who's on your list, buddy? Well, who's at the top of the list?
Yeah,
top of my list. I say that because you get to the Super Bowl once, you got completely outclassed and outcoached. The fan base, the organization, everyone makes Jared Goff out to be the scapegoat. So you dump him, bring in Stafford. You trade away years worth of first-round draft picks to pick up players that are supposed to help you win now in the Von Millers and the OBJs and all that type of bit. And at some point you have to look at, you know, when you draw the comparisons of coach to quarterback, we've already blamed the quarterback. So at what point do you have to look at the coach and also start looking at whether or not that the boy wonder label that everyone has kind of put on McVay starts to wear a little thin and wonder what his window looks like if they don't get it done soon.
I think that's interesting, and I think McVay, and thank you for the call, I think that, Dan, is probably going to be one of the ones that we have the most variance on. You've got him at the top of the list. I would push back and say that they have a strong general manager. I don't think the setup there is McVay calls the shots. Like, the perception here is that Andy Reid has final say. I don't know that McVay has final say there. He has a lot of input. Every head coach does. But I don't know. You know, they've got a general manager that, my understanding is, it got in a position of strength there. Is McVay on board with all those, or is McVay going, hey, guys, maybe we hang on to a draft pick? You know, it does, to your point, though, sound like what coaches would do. Give me the guy who can play right now. Coaches are always worried about winning their next game, where general managers think big picture and cap. So it does seem like he would probably be, you know, riding, if not driving, at least riding shotgun on the idea to go, you know, get guys now, mortgage the future for now. But my feeling is, look at what Jared Goff did with the Lions. Like, don't you look and go, I mean, that's a guy, I don't even know that he's going to be starting in 2 years. And McVay, with him inexperienced, took him all the way to the Super Bowl. Like, to me, the Jared Goff years are now a strength. Like, how did that guy almost win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I mean, what we saw with Goff at the Lions, I don't ding him. And Stafford looks better. He certainly had as good or better a statistical season than Goff had at a time that teams know how to play him better. And so I don't have that. In my opinion, I think McVay kind of validated his any credibility or maybe erased some of the credibility questions that were there by having the kind of season he had this year. Am I foolish for giving him that nod? I mean, no. Winning the NFC West, a tough division, and, you know, I kind of erased some of the questions. Like, I actually think McVay's on better footing now, and he's already won against the Cardinals. He's somewhat on a free roll here for me. I had McVay at number 7.
I had him at 4, but not because I think he has that much to lose, but because I think he has – I probably weighted mine more on things to gain as opposed to
sure.
lose. And it sounds like a lot you at least from what I'm hearing, maybe weighted more on what's to lose than what's to gain. What's at stake is such a broad term. I think I went a different way with it maybe.
I guess I just felt like, you know, getting to the Super Bowl, yeah. He's not at the point where it's like the guy's been coaching for 15, and, you know, the Andy Reid points, 20 years, 19 years in the league or whatever mm-hmm. it was, like, when's he going to get one? 21 years, wasn't it? 21 years? 40. I mean, he certainly hasn't reached that stage yet. I think your point's valid, but, I mean, didn't we just say that, well, winning one championship isn't that big a deal because there's a lot of one-timers.
Yeah.
It's when you win multiple.
The way I look at McVay is he can erase the loss with a win, and doing it with a different quarterback, I think, maybe puts him in a special pot. He went with Jared Goff, lost to the GOAT and the GOAT. Jared Goff showed his value. So, as you said, I think that year maybe looks a little better. If he can then take Matt Stafford, a guy who had not won a postseason game for the first 12 years of his career, and guide him to a Super Bowl win, that's a lot to gain. I have him up on the list because I think there's a lot for him to gain by winning a Super Bowl with a different quarterback. Going with two different guys and winning with the second one, I think, is pretty big.
Where'd you have McVay, Jed?
I had him at number 3, just based off the fact that the Rams are mortgaging so much of the future for this season. I think that puts a lot of undue pressure onto McVay, plus the fact that he's already been gifted the Wonderkind term.
All right, give me your 1 through 8 real quick, Jed.
So I had Andy Reid, Matt LaFleur, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Mike Vrabel, McDermott, Arians, and then Zach Taylor at number 8.
Okay, Kay, what's yours?
Reid, Arians, Shanahan, McVay, McDermott, LaFleur, Vrabel, Taylor at the end, because people can finally stop asking, who's the Bengals head coach again?
Yeah, Zach Taylor is 8 on mine, too. I mean, it's like he's on a free roll right now. Like,
yeah.
We're just beginning to grade him. Mine's LaFleur, Reed, Vrabel, number 3, because I think he's going to start getting the – you know, when you're the one seed and you don't get there, people get questionable on it. Kyle Shanahan at 4, who probably should be even higher. Bruce Arians, Sean McDermott, Sean McVay, and then Zach Taylor. That's a what's at stake for these 8 coaches that are left.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
Maybe Tyreek Hill went to Good Sense. Who knows? What head coach has the most wins over AP Top 25 teams while unranked himself? Brought to you by Good Sense.